Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. We want 10. We want 10. That may just be the greatest chant I have ever heard at the Dome. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, episode 120, as we are in the dog days of the National Hockey League season, March 30th. Man, this month went quick, didn't it? A lot of home games. Now we hit the road. I wonder how that'll go. You guys all have fun at the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night? Wasn't that something? Just an amazing game. I don't know. It was just one of those games where if you're an Oilers fan or a Flames fan, you didn't enjoy that. I mean, I'm sure the Oilers fans were upset, but boy, the first two periods even for them had to have been a blast to watch. So, you know, last night we followed up with a low scoring battle against Colorado, and a much different game. A lot of people upset after that loss. I wasn't. I mean, yeah, I wanted to win, but I mean, every goal was scored on special teams, and I thought we were fine. And, yeah, I don't know. Saturday night was off the charts, so, jeez. I don't know. This season is starting to wind down as we're approaching the 15-game remaining mark, and, yeah, getting ready for those Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know the team won't talk about it, and I know Daryl Sutter won't say we're in the playoffs, but we can say that. I mean, it would have to be, I don't even know how bad of a disaster it would have to be for us not to make the playoffs. But are you guys feeling a little stress as the playoffs approach? I kind of am. Not that I think we're going to, like, cave or lose, or, I mean, we could lose. I mean, only one team out of 32 wins this damn thing, and only one in 16 in the playoffs. And a lot of times good teams go out in the first round, and this team hasn't got over that hump. So, I mean, I'm not saying they can't, and I'm not saying they won't. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little uncomfortable as I think about what a month from now brings. And I think we'll be a little nervous when they step on the ice for game one, won't we? And you see that grit and the grind that we saw in that Colorado game last night, and it makes you think about playoff hockey and what it's going to be like and how this team's going to respond. And are they going to be able to handle those uncomfortable situations or those games when they're having trouble scoring? Will the scoring touch go away? Will we be hot going into the playoffs? You know, just so many. You know, will we face a hot goalie like we did last night? And there's just so many factors that can wreak havoc on a series and a team. But there's so many good things that can happen too. We may be peaking and coming into form at that time. And knock on wood, let's stay injury free. That's a huge thing. So lots going to happen over the next 6 weeks, isn't it? Oh, a lot of excitement in the city of Calgary. It's fun to see and well deserved, right? Well deserved. Today on the show, we're going to recap the three games from this week. Three really entertaining games, I thought. And then we'll talk about the healthy scratching of Sean Monahan. And I'll give you my take on this unfortunate situation. Then we'll talk about what it takes to build a Stanley Cup champion. And how do the Flames measure up to that recipe for success? We'll wrap with some Flames news from the Pacific. We'll take any live listener questions if we have any tonight, and preview what this weekend brings for the Calgary Flames. All right, Flames fans, time to recap some games. Let's rewind the clock. We're back to last Friday night, the 25th of March, when the Arizona Coyotes come into Calgary. And a night expected. No goals in the first. 3-1 after two. And the Calgary adds another one. 4-2 when it's all said and done. Markstrom with his 30th win of the season. Flames outshoot Arizona 33-18. Johnny Gaudreau got the game winner. He had a goal and two assists. Big night for him, plus 19 minutes for a little speedster. Matthew Tkachuk had a goal and an assist, and Rasmus Anderson put up 23 minutes and added a goal and was a plus one. All in all, it was a game that was one of those games that, like, we had to win, right? I mean, coming off a loss of the Sharks, the lowly Oats in town, a must win, and the Flames come through with an important 2 points. Then we followed up on a back-to-back, and many people forget, just because we won, that Saturday night was a back-to-back. It's pretty crazy that we were that powerful late in the game on a back-to-back. The Edmonton Oilers come to town, and it was flat-out bananas. 5 goals in the first. Calgary led 3-2 after one. Broussard scored for Edmonton. Lindholm, Tanev, Backlund for the Flames. Draisaitl added one in the final minute of the period. And I was kind of like, oh boy. Felt pretty good when we were up 3-1. That happened. Whew, I don't know. Then things got a little bit hairy. And then it went batshit crazy in the second as Draisaitl scored to make it 3-3. And then Shillington scores 2 minutes later. And we're 4-3. Then we're 4-4 when Nugent Hopkins ties it up on the power play. And then the floodgates open. Tkachuk scores 2 in a row. And the Flames lead by 2. And good old Leon Draisaitl scores another power play goal late just to give them hope. We're up by 1-6-5 after 2. By the way, we did chase Koskinen. Mike Smith comes in. He was in full Mike Smith form, playing the puck, doing stupid things, slashing, whacking, hacking. I don't know. I don't like that guy. I don't. Anyways, Koskinen was a 9th goalie the Flames have chased this year. That's an amazing stat. Third period was all Flames. They had 3 more to make it 9-5 as Lindholm scores, Backlund scores, Dubé scores. Everybody was scoring. Johnny Gaudreau ends the game with 5 assists, a plus 4. Tkachuk, 2 goals, 2 assists. Backlund, 2 goals, 1 assist. And it is Johnny Gaudreau's first ever 5 assist game. His second career 5-point game. He only has 1 6-point game. So up there with the best in his career. Some other crazy facts from that night. Leon Draisaitl had a hat trick and was minus 4. Think about that. That's unreal. That's almost impossible to do. A couple things I thought were pretty funny in the post game show after that. Bieksa described the game as a beatdown, which is always fun to see him say that, isn't it? Yeah. And Ron McLean, as Hockey Night in Canada and After Hours went off the air, as it was going out, he adds the comment, "I hope you enjoyed the Calgary Stampede." I don't know that a lot of people caught that, but that had to piss a ton of people off in Edmonton. It made me laugh pretty damn hard. It really, really did. And then Tuesday night, Colorado Avalanche, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, comes into the Saddle Dome, and it was a lockdown affair. Final score, 2-1. All the goals scored on the power play. That's the kind of night it was. Kemper with the win for Colorado. Markstrom with the loss for the Calgary Flames. It was a grinded out game. I didn't get upset. I thought we were fine. I really did. I know a lot of people. I was listening to poor Pat Steinberg try to deal with the after-hour show last night, or what do they call it now? They don't call it overtime anymore. Just the post-game show and the call-in part of it. Yeah, people are still negative on this team. I'm like, what the heck is going on with people? Like, this team is good. We're not going to win every single game. It's not like we got pumped 6-1 by the Avalanche. I mean, it was a good game. I did learn a few things. If we play Colorado in the playoffs, which would be amazing, it would probably be in the conference finals if we do, but Mikko Rantanen is just a pain in the ass. And he is a whacking slasher, man. Holy cow, is he wild with a stick. He almost drilled Backlund in the head with a, a vicious backslash. Just missed him. I don't think many people caught that. That was in the first period. He's a tough guy to play against. He's a pain in the ass. He's going to be a handful in the playoffs. Nazem Kadri was kind of in his form that he normally is last night. I did love it when Gabranson gave him a good ride. It's going to be interesting playing against those guys. And they really got to Markstrom last night. I know there wasn't a lot of talk about that in the post game, and Sutter really played it off. But they really got to him. And Markstrom was really slashing, especially getting two slashes on Rantanen. And I don't know how that correlates. I want to see a goalie with fire. I don't want to see a stupid goalie like Mike Smith was. McKinnon did not play last night. They thought he had a broken hand, and I did not hear the exact status today. I did hear he was practicing today, though, and taking shots as normal. So that's good if you're a Colorado Avalanche fan. Not good if you're everybody else in the Western Conference. Not that we wish injuries, but Nathan McKinnon is a guy that can take over games and completely rule out there. An amazing player, probably, in my mind, the best in the National Hockey League. All right, Flames fans, let's talk about Sean Monahan. And Sean Monahan was scratched on Friday night versus Arizona and scratched Saturday night versus Edmonton. Was back in the lineup Tuesday versus Colorado. And this made tons of headlines in Calgary and really throughout the National Hockey League. And I don't know. It was reportedly Wes Gilbertson said it was the first time he's covered Monahan his whole career, and unless his memory fails him, he believes this is the first time he's been healthy scratched at the NHL level. Monahan was scratched one other time for a disciplinary after a Super Bowl or something years ago. I can't remember what the exact details were with that, but it was his second and third healthy scratches. You know, Monahan was the first rounder, sixth overall pick in 2013, and has had an amazing career in Calgary. I have an autographed jersey behind me. I love Sean Monahan, but he's been beaten and battered with injuries for years now, and they're catching up to him. And he is not as quick as he was. People act like this is the first year he struggled. The last year he struggled miserably too. He just wasn't the team whipping boy. Sam Bennett was until he got traded, and I don't know. We always have a whipping boy, and this year it's Sean Monahan. So that was TJ Brody. We've had a few in Calgary, but anyways, no Monahan. He sits out, and he took it like a true professional, and just commented that he was going to have to be better. And I think what we need to do as a fan base is forget what round we drafted him and forget how much we're paying him a year, like you guys did with Milan Lucic. No one bitches about what Milan Lucic makes a year, but he doesn't produce either. And he's slower than Monahan. And quite honestly, Lucic was really good at the beginning of the year and has tapered drastically, probably the most of any player on this roster right now. But nobody talks about Lucic struggling, but they're really quick to throw daggers at Monahan. And I'm not protecting Monahan. I think he's been awful at times this year. The one thing Monahan has going for him, though, is the guy wins faceoffs. He works hard. I don't like what we're paying him right now, but we don't have a choice, right? We don't have a choice. So we can complain and whine about it and trash this player into the dirt, or we can accept it. Accept his role as a fourth liner like he has and try to make the best of it. If you're going into the playoffs with Monahan as your fourth center, team's pretty deep, right? Championships are won up the middle and in goal. And, you know, I think we need to lay off a little bit. Now, he was back against Colorado, didn't have any points, but as a 2-1 game, he doesn't play in the power play. All the points are on the power play. I thought he was fine last night. He won some really key draws. I thought he was physical. He had a really good scoring chance late in the first period. I don't know, you guys. I think it's time to just take a step back and let's focus on the on some other things. I mean, we have other things that I think we that need help that we should be bitching about, and I think we have a lot that we should be thankful for. Damn near this whole roster is having a career year, and we keep yelling at Sean Monahan. Now, yes, Sean Monahan needs to be better. He needs to be more engaged. He needs to be quicker on the puck in the slot. He used to just be, you know, money in the slot. He was quick on the puck immediately, and he's not so much anymore. He needs to work through those things. Is his body even capable of doing it anymore? I don't know. I really have a hard time saying, though, that his heart's not there and his work ethic's not there, because I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing work ethic. And I think the coaching staff is, too. So think about if it was your kid. If your kid is out there and he's giving it his absolute all, and little Johnny's not scoring every night in peewee hockey, are you crucifying little Johnny if he's busting his ass every single night out there? No. You're encouraging him and you're pushing him to keep working at it, because it'll start to come. I'm not saying we need to treat Sean Monahan like a baby and protect him and never criticize him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to accept him for what he's worth. Now, with the way the lines are right now, with Lindholm centering Gaudreau and Tkachuk, Backlund centering Toffoli and Mangiapane, Yarncroke centering Dubé and Coleman, Monahan has been centering Lucic and Lewis. Now, this 12, I love this 12. This is exactly how I was coaching. They finally went to it. This is exactly the way I would have it. Let's roll with this for a week or two. Let's see what goes. Carpenter is going to fill in for Monahan once in a while, and that's okay. And we need Richie to fill in for Lucic, because God knows Lucic needs some rest right now. He's slow right now. I'm not going to sit and turn this thing on to bitching about Lucic, but he's been slow. And he hasn't been scoring, and he hasn't been effective, and his shots on goal per game are virtually non-existent right now. So not only does Sean Monahan need to step up his game, I think Milan Lucic does too. And I called out Dylan Dubé a few weeks ago too, and I think Dylan Dubé has really, really, really stepped up. But I do know one thing. In the playoffs, you need to win faceoffs, and you need to bring your A game. And I'm not so sure that maybe some people will be eating crow. And I don't think Monahan's going to like light it up in the playoffs, but I do think he will be a key cog in this Flames and the success they do have in the postseason. What does it take to win a Stanley Cup? Need some luck, don't you? Need some things to go your way. You need to stay injury free. You need to win at home. You need to be good on the kill and the power play. Check all those boxes, don't we? You need to have good goaltending. Check that box. I read an article this week in the Athletic. Shayna Goldman, Dom Lucision, wrote an article about what it takes, what's the recipe to be a championship roster. And they kind of studied the rosters of, I can't remember how many years they went back. From 2010, they went back. And they figured out and they developed 10 common elements that were critical in these 11 championship teams. 10 championship teams. And it's interesting. And so I thought, well, let's correlate that to the Flames and let's see how they fit the recipe. The first section of the recipe is an elite first-line center that's among the very best in the league. Well, Elias Lindholm. And I wouldn't have said that last year, but this year, he has stepped up. He's in the top 10 in points. He's doing everything. He's golden in the slot on the power play and 5-on-5 scoring. He's going to be a Selke candidate. And if he's not, it's robbery for a top defensive forward. He's doing everything. He's emerging as a true number one center in this league, and I think every general manager would say that he is now. So check that box. Box number two, an elite first-line winger to support that elite center. Well, if Johnny Gaudreau isn't that, I don't know what is. He's going to go over 100-plus points. He's over 30 goals already. Check box number two. Number three, two top-line wingers in each of your top two lines. Well, we can't count Gaudreau because we already counted him. So then I'll fire Matthew Tkachuk and Andrew Mangiapane at you. Check that box. Both 30-plus goals? Wow. So we're 3 for 3, right? Well, here's where it gets a little tricky. Box number four is a top-line center to play behind an elite center. I thought about this one. Sean Monahan would have checked this box 3 years ago, wouldn't he? Not anymore. Kelly Yarncrock, not top line. He's exactly what we wanted and exactly why we wanted to bring him in. Michael Backlund. Michael Backlund's probably my favorite player on the team right now. But can I honestly consider him a top line center? No. So I can't check that box. So we're 3 for 4. Box number five, two top six forwards that play in the middle six spot, play for depth in the middle six. Well, that would be Tyler Toffoli and Blake Coleman. Blake Coleman's got the pedigree. Tyler Toffoli's got the pedigree. Both can score. Both know how to play offensively and defensively. Can you get better middle six wingers than those two guys? Check that box. So we're 4 of 5. Number six, an elite number one defenseman. And I thought hard about this one. And I thought, you know, Rasmus Anderson's getting there. Is he there? No, he's not. Will he get there? I don't know, maybe. He very well could. He's been good. He's having a great year, a huge bounce back year from last year. I think we all have to be happy with his play, but I can't check that box off. The next box is a second number one defenseman to play right behind him. Well, that would be Noah Hanifin, who's on his line. Is he elite? This box was a tough one. So I erred on the side of no. Even though I think most teams would love to have him as your second guy in your top pairing. But I erred on the side of not. So I'm not going to check that box. So we're 4 of 7 boxes. The next box is a top pairing defenseman to help anchor that second strong second pairing, a number two anchor. Chris Tanev. Check mark. He's been amazing. Number nine, another top pairing caliber defender to crush soft minutes in that third pair. And I couldn't decide which one to pick. Zadorov or Gabranson. They're both doing that. They're both doing that this year. Nobody expected that. Nobody in the league expected that. When Daryl Sutter went after these two guys and they got these guys solidified, everybody in Calgary was like, oh my gosh. Then we watched them in the preseason and we were ready to pull our hair out. But they check this box. They check this box. And the final box is a top 10 caliber starting goalie. Check mark for sure. Double check mark. So the Flames cover 70% of these categories. We're missing three. And we're close on all three. Backlund might be the one that's furthest away. No, when you make up for it, when you have the other three centers, they being that strong, right? It's pretty damn good and pretty damn impressive. Now, the Athletic rated every one of the teams that's in a playoff position or, you know, close to a playoff position. Calgary filled the most boxes of any team, which may surprise many because you automatically think Tampa Bay Lightning, but they've lost a lot of people. You automatically think Vegas Knights, they've lost a lot of people. You know, you automatically think Colorado Avalanche. Well, I mean, are they as deep as the Calgary Flames offensively? I don't know. Many would question that. Are they as deep defensively? Top end, they're better, but are they as deep? Calgary checked off the most boxes for them. And they checked off 7 of 10 for me. That's pretty impressive. Now, it's just time to get out there and see if we can put this together and go on a long cup run.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fans, time to roll through some Flames news from this week. Had a lot of little things happening. Gaudreau hits 200 goals and is the second star of the week. 200 goals in his career. Did that against Arizona Coyotes with a goal and two assists that night. 10th player to record 200-plus goals for the Flames, which is quite a feat. He's the second star of the week, which I believe he was a star just not too long ago, too. And so the guy keeps rolling. Last week, 2 goals, 8 assists, 10 points in 3 games. 10 points in 3 games for Johnny Gaudreau. Whew. And he didn't get number one star. Cam Talbot did. Went 3-0-0, 1.33 goals against average, .959 in a shutout. Trying to save his job, yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury there knocking on the door, trying to take that from him. He's saying, hell no, he gets a number one star. 30 goal scores. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but man, the Flames are blessed. Mangiapane sitting at 30. Lindholm sitting at 34. Gaudreau sitting at 30. Tkachuk sitting at 32. We got 4 guys. This is a team. At the beginning of the year, we worried if we were going to be able to find offense. This is crazy. The last time we had this successful was in 93-94, which was a hell of a year. A year we ended up going up 3-1 on Vancouver, and Pavel Bure destroyed it all in game 7 overtime and beat us. But that year, Roberts ended with 41, Fleury ended with 40, Reichel ended with 40, and Neuendijk with 36. I'm not so sure we don't kind of crush some of those records, and I don't know. We might, it's going to be interesting to see here. We could have a couple guys pushing 50, couldn't we? I don't know, be a long shot, but you never know. Noah Hanifin plays his 500th game against the Edmonton Oilers, and he is the 5th youngest blue liner in NHL history since 1994 to hit the 500 game mark. He is 25 and 60 days old. Only Scott Stevens, Phil Housley, Al Iafrady, and Luke Richardson were younger when they hit the 500 game mark. Whew. A lot of people overlook Noah Hanifin, and that's quite a feat. That is really quite a feat. So what did you guys think of the warm-up jerseys they wore Saturday night in the Battle of Alberta? 50th anniversary of the team coming into Atlanta, and I don't forget that because it's my birth year, so we share that. I'm hitting 50 this year. They're hitting 50 years. So, I thought those jerseys looked pretty sweet. They were a cool addition for that night, and something that I think everybody pretty much liked. Let's take a look at this playoff race as we go in the division. Not a lot of division news. We're not talking about a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about this playoff race and kind of where it sits right now. And let's talk about the Pacific first because that's what we're in. Calgary, a plus 70 goal differential, 40 wins, 18 losses, 8 overtimes, 66 games played. We are sitting at, 88 points right now. We're going to start counting the magic number down every week on the show pretty quickly here when this team clinches. That's going to be fun. Colorado does lead the Central. So let's say, where would we be if the playoffs started today? Well, number one in the Central, the Colorado Avalanche, would take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine that series if Vegas got healthy? be crazy. Number two in the Central, Minnesota would take on the Nashville Predators, the third team in the Central. Our Calgary Flames would be the first in the Pacific, and they would take on Wild Card One, which would be the St. Louis Blues, which we play Saturday night. We'll talk about that later here. And the number two, Los Angeles Kings would take on the number three Edmonton Oilers. They are playing right as we're about ready to drop the puck here. And if Edmonton beats them tonight, they're going to jump LA in the race. But you know what? None of those teams are shoo-ins. And here's why. You know, I'm looking at the teams on the outside. As Dallas sits on the outside at 75 points, but they have four games in hand on Vegas, so they're in the driver's seat. Winnipeg sits at 74 points, 2 points out of a playoff spot. Not really any games in hand, though. They're sitting up kind of towards the top in games played. But they are almost going to have to – it's going to be tough. They have a chance to get in still, but they're going to have to really pull it together. They are 7-3 in their last 10, though, so that's good. Vancouver sits at 73 points. They are not dead yet. They have been struggling, but getting points on a nightly basis. Tonight's game against St. Louis is critical for them. But the thing is, I don't think they're getting a wild card spot because I think the Central is going to fill both one and two wild card spots. Vancouver is going to have to get up into that top three. Now, is it doable? Yeah. Edmonton sits 6 points back. Los Angeles has got a ton of injuries. Who knows where Edmonton goes? Edmonton could go up or they could fall off the planet if their goaltending does. There's so many questions to be answered there. I'm not sure what happens. I do think Dallas is going to get in, and I think Vegas is going to push for that top three in the Pacific. Next week, we'll probably nail down some more predictions, maybe get a guest on the show to throw us his predictions too. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. And, this weekend will also be interesting as we can knock LA down by beating them. We have them two of the next three games. But tonight's games will really play a factor. Vancouver's almost in a must-win situation. Winnipeg's almost in a must-win. Dallas kind of sits in the driver's seat with games in hand. St. Louis, I think they're pretty much locked into a playoff spot. But LA and Edmonton, better not slide too hard. It could get tight there. Some wins, somebody strings three, four games together. It could get tight. This race is not over in the Western Conference.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Three games to preview, Flames fans, and it starts Thursday night, tomorrow night, the 31st of March. The Los Angeles Kings come into the Saddle Dome as we have still two more games in this six-game homestand. Thursday night, LA comes in. They're currently second in the Pacific, 7 points back of the Flames, so not out of the woods here. They sweep us in the next two games. They're up to three, and things get a little bit worrisome in Calgary. This is the second of three meetings. Calgary did win the first on December 2nd, 3-2 in LA. And like I said, they go again Monday night, April 4th. And that one's going to be in LA for a late start out on the West Coast. Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, St. Louis Blues come in. That is who we would match up with in the playoffs if they started today. So that'll be an interesting little watch. And St. Louis currently in that first wild card spot, fourth place in the Central Division. This is the third of three meetings between the teams. Calgary beat St. Louis 7-1 in Calgary on January 24th when they were coming off a 3-4 night game and Calgary laid the waste to them. Just 3 days later in St. Louis, Calgary was playing their third in four nights. St. Louis had been sitting there waiting and resting. And they laid the hurt bag to the Flames 5-1. St. Louis is playing 3-4 this Saturday night. So what Blues team are we going to get? Are we going to get that tired one? Or are we going to get one that's a little bit more rejuvenated? And, yeah, I don't know how to get a beat on this one or really what's going to happen at all with this one. This one should be interesting and will be a good battle. And I'm also looking forward to these two Kings games. I don't know. I always feel like we struggle against Dallas and I feel like we struggle against LA and San Jose. So let's see. We need to at least get three of the 4 points against, an LA Kings team that's, beaten and battered down, and I believe Drew Doughty's out for the year. And yeah, things aren't going good in LA. They need to get the wheels back on track, because this team, they're sitting in a playoff spot. They are. We're back next Tuesday, April 5th, as, busy week for the Flames next week with games Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, as they hit the road. They finally hit the road, which will be weird because we've been watching them at home so much, but good. So we're getting down to the final month of the season. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Next week's show should be interesting. We're going to have a guest on the show next week. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks to all our listeners. We truly appreciate it. Help us out. Get on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all of them. So check us out there and get on over to YouTube. You can watch the video version on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We appreciate them all. Have a great week, Flames fans. It's a good time to be a Flames fan. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.